Despite the city's plan to clear people out of the jungle, people are still living in that massive homeless camp under I-5. They live there for all kinds of reasons. For some, it's a last resort. For others, it's a place they've come to call home. And for a few residents, it comes down to proximity for things that they need. KUOW's Kate Walters has more.
It's dark near Kevin Boggs' tent. The sun is mostly blocked by the freeway that stretches above his bright orange shelter. Boggs has lived in the jungle for about 6 months. His heroin addiction drove him onto the streets, and after having his tent repeatedly ransacked, he moved to the jungle for the sense of community and security it offered.
I need people, you need teammates, you need a family, you need a community to survive in a hostile environment. You have to. You cannot do it alone, so this is my not alone.
But there was another reason Boggs moved. He goes to a methadone treatment program nearby, a program for people addicted to opiates.
When I first became homeless and first enrolled in the program, I lived in Lake City, which is North Seattle. There is one bus that runs almost all the way here, and it only takes about 45 minutes to get here. But it was a commitment to get up and come all the way here.
There are only 3 methadone clinics in Seattle, and they usually have long wait lists. The program Boggs got into is run by Evergreen Treatment Services. It's on Airport Way South, a stone's throw from where he now lives in the jungle.
Methadone basically gives any of us that stay on it the stability to actually live normal lives, go and get jobs without rushing out to obtain heroin every day.
And since being on methadone, Boggs has started working again. He's a welder in Redmond. But here's the catch with treatments like this. These kinds of medications are highly regulated, especially methadone.
I generally get up, throw on my shoes, and stumble on down here. It's just straight down the hill from my tent, and then a left turn.
And how often do you have to do that?
Monday through Saturday, and Sunday I get a take-home dose. So every single day.
This is what can make it so hard. Methadone isn't like an antibiotic. You can't get a prescription, fill it at the pharmacy, and take it home. To get his medication, Boggs physically has to show up at the clinic every day.
Kevin Boggs, my dose is 40.
Yes, sir.
He gets a small white plastic cup with pink liquid in it. It kind of looks like mouthwash. Boggs says the taste is pretty nasty. He swallows it in front of a nurse and washes it down with some water. Boggs also has to go to counselling and submit to random drug tests at least once a month. It's all part of the deal when you're on methadone. It is possible to get to a point where you get to take multiple doses of the medication home with you, but that only happens for patients who are considered stable. And it's particularly tough for people like Boggs, who are homeless, to get to that stage.
When you don't know where you're going to be that night, or if you have to leave your tent with all of your possessions in it and risk having it taken or stolen or swept away, that becomes a huge stressor, which absolutely impacts people's ability to focus on the treatment.
Molly Carney is the executive director of Evergreen Treatment Services. She says about 40% of their clients are homeless, but she draws a clear line. The jungle and the tent encampments aren't there because of the clinic, she says. Though the clinic's homeless outreach team acknowledges Boggs is not the only patient who lives in the jungle. It's a symptom of a bigger problem. The number of heroin addicts who are also homeless is rising. And providing a place for homeless patients to stay just isn't part of the methadone clinic model. That was never built into the system that was created decades ago.
They really originated in dense urban cities where people lived and walked. And the idea was that it was a convenient place for people to easily come by multiple times per week, much as a Starbucks might be nowadays for Seattleites.
That's Caleb Bantagreen. He's an expert on opiate addiction and a member of the King County Heroin and Prescription Opiate Task Force. The issue, Bantagreen says, is that opiate addiction isn't concentrated in dense urban cores anymore. It's in neighborhoods, in suburbs, in rural areas. It's everywhere.
And all of a sudden, instead of talking about a 10-minute walk, you're talking about a one-hour drive, or in some instances, even 2 or 3 hour drives. And that's obviously untenable for anybody to have anything going on in their life other than just showing up at the clinic.
It's this disconnect between the prevalence of addiction and the availability of treatment that the King County Task Force wants to change. The goal is for people like Kevin Boggs to be able to access their medication without it taking over their lives. So how do you do that? One answer? More clinics like the one on Airport Way South. The task force also wants to get more doctors on board to prescribe buprenorphine, another addiction treatment medication that can be prescribed by a regular family doctor. But that means getting rid of the stigma attached to these treatments. and lowering the barrier for both prescribers and patients, Bantergreen says.
It needs to be a normal thing that all primary care doctors do. Most primary care doctors prescribe opiates for pain. Most of them take care of treating depression with antidepressants. So it is addiction that we think is a fundamentally different medical condition. It isn't fundamentally different.
Kevin Boggs says wider access and lower barriers to treatment could make a huge difference for others like him.
You know, it's like my shield that I need. I'm not afraid to be without it, but I know what would happen.
For now, Boggs is focusing on getting back on his feet. A year from now, he's hoping he'll be further along in his treatment, and his bright orange tent will be a long-gone memory. In the jungle, I'm Kate Walters for KUOW.